Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Last year, the Vermont legislature passed a law requiring most food produced with genetically modified ingredients to be labeled by 2016. There are ongoing legal fights surrounding that law, but some small Vermont producers are already working to figure out how to comply with the law. Last week, I popped into Vermont Cookie Love in North Ferrisburg. Tough gig, I know. Owner Paul Seiler and his employee, Ali Gomez, were hard at work in the backroom bakery.
Today, we are actually rolling cookie dough. So we make our dough fresh and then hand roll it into 1 pound rolls and freeze it for sale. So today we're doing triple chocolate, or it's called Forbidden Love, and that is a chocolate-based cookie with white chocolate and semi-sweet chunks. And then Allie's also cutting up some mocha chocolate chip, and that utilizes the Vermont Coffee Company dark roast. So another nice local product we use. So.
And as I understand it, you were already thinking about going organic and GMO-free before Vermont passed a law that would require labels for any food that has GMO products in it.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was from the get-go, we wanted to produce a product that was of higher quality than what was available. So ingredients was always important, and local was important. And we've certainly looked into being organic. Cost-wise, it's kind of difficult to do, especially with the quality of things that we already use, the chocolate, the butter, flour. But when the GMO project, the non-GMO project came along, we really tried to be a part of that as soon as we could, just because it was in line with what we were already trying to do. So it wasn't as big of a jump for us, perhaps, as for others.
So you're rolling these 1 pound chunks of cookie dough. Tell me about the ingredients in this, the triple chocolate, the Forbidden Love, and you try to source whether or not there are GMOs in these ingredients.
Well, a lot of it has to do with our distributor. The food distributor we use is Hillcrest Foods. They have got a great staff that does a lot of this work for us. So we'll put in a request for, you know, a type of ingredient and then ask sort of what they have available. In the beginning, it was really a bit of a challenge. Like cranberries, for instance, we really had to sort of stay on searching for cranberries that were using cane sugar instead of beet sugar, which a lot of people wouldn't think about, but that's one element right there that made it non-GMO. Unfortunately, most of the cranberries were being exported to a European market that has much more strict laws about non-GMO. So that actually was the hardest part, to find a way to keep it here so that we could actually buy it. Now with the labeling law coming into, you know, hopefully into effect in 2016, they're already seeing the writing on the wall and getting all of that information together. So I've, over the last few days, been able to collect a lot of information just because they've had it readily available and they could just email me the documentation from almost all of our ingredients.
And for you as a small producer, it sounds like what the state is going to require is sort of a good faith effort to find out where your ingredients are coming from and whether or not they are GMO free so that you can say, here's our documentation. I mean, they're not expecting you to be doing extensive testing or, you know, something that's very expensive. Is that your understanding too?
Well, the belief is that if the way in which the law is written is that if you can provide documentation from your ingredients producers that their claim is that they are non-GMO, then that sort of satisfies that particular labeling law standard. So I think that we will continue probably beyond the law to try and understand more about our ingredients, just because I think that's this information I want to have as a producer. But as far as how the law is written now, then yeah, we acquire the documentation, we have it in-house, and that would hopefully then be enough.
What are the hardest ingredients that you've had to try to find non-GM substitutions for?
Well, some of the sort of ones that you wouldn't even think of, like baking soda or, you know, salt. I mean, does that even apply? I mean, it was like an odd thing, but you know, there are so many different little things that go into our cookie dough that I was, you know, had to do some sleuthing. But every ingredient, everybody wants to know, and so the documentation is there. And that was really sort of made my job extremely easy. The fact that this, in some ways, because it's becoming something that we're all going to have to make a change to, it's everyone's adjusting, and so that just seems like a natural progression.
Do you think by 2016 that you will have labels that say contains or may contain GMOs, or do you think you'll be GMO-free by then?
For us, we're really almost there already, and I think that's great for a small company like us that is from the beginning has been dedicated to high-quality ingredients and putting out a better, cleaner product. So in some ways, this labeling law, I don't think it's going to hurt us as much as it might actually really help us, because it's going to, you know, show to the public our commitment, perhaps in a way that we wouldn't have seen otherwise.
I understand you changed your flour recently, or are in the process of changing it?
Yeah, we're sort of, that's one of the ones that we're going to try and change. Because, again, we're fairly small, we can do it in small batches, and it's not going to affect us perhaps the same way it would a really large company that has to do it on a much grander volume. So.
But what about the cost? This flour costs you more to buy?
Yeah, absolutely.
How much more?
Well, an organic flour could be almost twice as much. So that's something that we have to be ready for. But it's also something that I think our customer already expects, that we're going to try and make these changes whenever we can.
And are they okay with a price rise subsequent to that?
A flour change for us probably wouldn't be a dramatic price increase. Might be a couple 10 cents or something like that, and if that. But as we've evolved as a company, we've been able to save money in certain places, and then in order to spend it and better our product. So we might just find a way to do it without raising the price. That's our hope.
I don't know how much you talk to other local small food producers around the state, but is this a topic of concern that you're finding in the community of small food producers?
I think that the commitment to high quality food and product that are made in Vermont, the brand of Vermont is so strong that I think most will sort of understand what's happening. I don't know whether or not they'll agree with it, but they'll certainly respect what this law is trying to do. It's really trying to allow people to know what food they're buying and to be able to make a more educated choice.
Well, it sounds like you've been sort of working in a vacuum, trying to figure this out on your own, but that it hasn't actually been perhaps as difficult as somebody might think. Was it easier or more complicated than you thought it would be?
Well, again, because of the size that we are, I think that, you know, certainly time spent trying to source it is one cost, but how drastically we had to change the cost of our product, that wasn't as hard. I can't imagine having to make all these changes being an enormous company that has to really rethink all parts of their business. We have a real luxury in being smaller, but that doesn't mean that it can't be done. It just means that, you know, perhaps more cost, but they're also going to make more profit. I think it all balances out in the end. So.
Well, Ben & Jerry's faced a real outcry when they changed their Heath Bar Crunch and had to rename it. I think it's Coffee Toffee Bar Crunch or something now, because Heath bars have GMO ingredients, and they were going GMO-free. And they got a real outcry from their fans who said it doesn't taste as good. So that's not something that you felt like you've had to face so far anyway.
No. I think that if we are going to continue to try and, first off, make our product better, and taste better. And I think that if we were faced with perhaps really having to make a choice like that, well, we might have to discontinue something. But again, we're not Ben & Jerry's. We'd like to be, maybe, but those aren't problems we have quite yet.
All right, so we have to get down to the really important question, though, too, which is, what's your favorite flavor of your own cookies?
My favorite. As I've said to many of my customers, it's like choosing between my children. So.
Oh, don't flake out on me.
No,
come
really,
on.
I gotta, okay, under the gun. I think our newest flavor, to be honest, is one I'm most excited about. It's a enduring love. It's coconut, chocolate chip, cranberry, almond, and oatmeal. That's kind of the everything cookie, but I'm sort of into a lot of different things. So there you have it.
And is that only because it's new and you haven't gotten sick of it yet?
No, actually, it's just we don't make anything else with coconut in it, and I love coconut, so far I haven't gotten sick of it at all. No, probably should for my waistline. But.
Well, Paul, thank you for letting me interrupt your work and talking to me about how you're sourcing non-GMO products. I appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for coming in.
That's Paul Seiler, the owner of Vermont Cookie Love in North Ferrisburg. I visited him last week, and we talked about how he's preparing to comply with Vermont's GMO labeling law. Barring any legal injunctions, the law goes into effect July 1st of next year. And we'd love to hear from other food producers. If you're already looking into this issue, send us an email and let us know how it's going. What are the trickiest ingredients for you to source? And are you ready to label or hoping to go GMO-free? What effect do you think a may contain GMO ingredients label would have on your sales and your products? You can let us know by writing to Vermont Edition at vpr.net.